Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves to the for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear to God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he trusted himself to those who judge justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers.
Thanks, Sandy. Well, Daniel, you've been preaching for 3 weeks now, taking us through the series on 1 Peter, and I think you've now hit the hardest point in the letter. So I think we should pray for you before you come up. So come on up, and we'll pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we truly do thank you for your word to us. I thank you for this incredible servant that you've blessed our congregation with in Daniel, and for him stepping in a few weeks ago to lead us through this series, to give me and my family the time, the space to spend as much time with Heather as possible. Lord, we continue to pray that you would speak mightily through Daniel. He's had a busy week. We thank you, Lord, for looking after Felipe, who's had a little his own health difficulty this past week. We just want to pray blessing on him and Pam as well, Lord, as they go forward. Lord, be with Daniel now as he touches on one of these difficult passages that I know have caused so much pain and suffering because of how they've been abused, these household codes, as we call them. Lord, would you prepare all of our hearts to hear you? Lord, what is it that you want to say to us? What hope do you want to fill us with this morning? And we know you will, because you have been week after week as we've been through this series. So thank you, Father. And as we open up your word now. May those words come off the page and into our lives through your servant Daniel this morning. Bless him. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on Daniel again this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hola. Your Spanish is getting better. That's good. Okay, hagamos esto en español entonces. How are you? Good. I was very stressed out a few things this week, but one of the things is that this text is a difficult passage, and there's so much historical background behind it that I was like, how do I do that in I don't know, half an hour? So I talked to her and she said, I told her, I need 2 hours. And she's like, can't. Like, 1.5 hour? No. Nope. 1 hour? Impossible. So let's try to do this. So not long ago, I was with Ross, actually. We were on campus, and we were in this sort of conference about evangelism, and then he said, let's go for lunch. I was like, okay, I like lunch, so let's go for lunch. So we went to this place in UBC. I can't really describe what it is. And so I'm sitting there, and so Ross is next to me. He's ordering. He ordered. This is probably a bit too loud. I'm getting... Thank you, Andy. Because I'm a loud person, you know that. So Ross orders and he gets a salad. And then the lady's looking at me, what are you gonna order? And I'm like, a salad with a cheeseburger. But I said salad first. And then a Caesar salad. Caesar salad, yeah, okay. So she brings the Caesar salad. And I look at the Caesar salad and it looks different. And I am like, this Caesar salad doesn't look very Caesar. And she's like, oh yeah, here in our Caesar salad, we use kale. Yeah, you know what I mean. So kale, wow. I think at that point I never eaten kale, and who does that anyways? Like, who would think, oh, that little green thing that tastes like bug spray, we should eat it, right? Kale, and I look at Ross and I am like, he's like, eat it, it's good for you. It's a superfood, okay? So I tested it, boy, superfood, its superpower is to taste bad. So what I did, so I put a little bit of more cheese, yeah, a little bit of salad dressing, then I put a little bit of sugar. Then I pick the whole thing and I put it in the garbage. So, kale. So, funny, but sometimes, I read about kale and it's good for your eyes, and I am like, it's good for your eyes. I would rather wear glasses, thank you very much. But it's good for your health. You need vegetables. And I really enjoy eating vegetables. They're good for you. I didn't write that, Pam did. So yeah, you need that. You need that. So the last few weeks, we've been talking about hope and this imperative, this beautiful imperative. Set your hope on God and crave for God's presence and be holy. And you are my people, my precious people, my chosen ones. And that feels like, for a community that is in crisis, that feels like like these delicious, amazing energy bars, right? Like that Clif energy bar. You know those ones? Oh, you don't? You should. They're so good. So you need that, right? That protein, that sugar that gives you energy, that will drive you when you need some protein. But sometimes we need the veggies. Sometimes we need the kale, and they don't taste very well. These veggies, some of them, I think all of them, but we need them. We need them. So today we have a difficult text in here. So we can do what I did with the kale in this case. Some people would like to do that though. So we take the Bible and then we apply our modern scissors, right? For our Canadian, Western, or Chilean sensitivities, oh, this is too bad. So we are like, zoom, ripping this page and just leaving it behind because it's not very good for our Canadian sensitivities and all these things. So we sometimes we skip the hard work of looking at the text in its historical context. Please do not patronize this text. Never do that with the Bible. Oh, those silly, ignorant, ancient people. They tell slaves to obey their masters. And they tell the masters to be nice to their slaves. They didn't know better. We do. But before we criticize Peter's understanding of the true gospel, which, by the way, he might know something because he walked and got to meet Jesus personally. So he probably knows something. So we might be okay if we listen to him. So before we criticize this text, for example, simple question. Have you ever lived your faith in a country without democracy? Probably not, yeah? And probably this, you? Yeah, you and I both, sister. God bless you. So this thing, never take it for granted. So when they say never forget, boy, I understand that. I understand. Remember being 14 years old, and I'm looking at the news, and I think it was one of these Western countries electing a new president. And then I'm trying to think, when do we get to elect a president? So I asked my dad, hey, where can we elect? Because since I was born, the only president I knew was Pinochet. You ever heard Pinochet, about Pinochet? Not very good, right? So I asked my dad, hey, when do we get to elect our president? And I still remember his reaction. He laughed, and he is like, we don't have that luxury in here. We do not have that luxury. So living your faith in a country without democracy, in a country or in a time where you're led by an empire, it's not that easy. It's complicated. But remember, Peter knew Jesus. He learned from him. So going back to 1 Peter, so we've been talking about living hope, remember who you are, and I think people are remembering that because I had one of the youth screaming at me yesterday, yes, remember who you are. Okay, get it, you're listening. remember what you believe. Set your hope in God. Be holy. You are God's people. That's the first part. But now comes the kale, and we're not putting any sugar on it. So this is a long, difficult text, and as Marty was mentioning in his prayer, this kind of text, is called a household code. We will talk about that. But I think we're going to have to develop this on the course of 2 weeks, because like every single text that we have already dealt with, there's so much background that we had to leave behind because I cannot preach 2 hours. That's so sad. So, Peter keeps talking actually about hope. Please do not miss that. Now he's telling his audience, this is how you live it in first century Greco-Roman Empire. This is how you live out your faith. Remember, in the Christian sense of the word, hope is not something that you expect to happen only, but it is a transformational power given by the Holy Spirit that enables us today to live a godly life, a different life. Hope is something that you experience today. Today. So Peter begins, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good life among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they might see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Live good lives so God will be glorified." Live good life. And then, how do you do that? And we had some imperatives the past weeks. Remember them? Hope. Yeah, right. The other one? Be holy. Thank you. Oh, you're listening. Oh, that makes me happy. Hope, be holy. Now we have another imperative. Submit yourself. Yeah, no many smiles. After. I love your faces when I said that. It's like I told you, I'm going to give you some kale. Like, I don't know. Submit yourselves. Submit yourself, an imperative, to every authority. Live as free people. Live as God's slaves. Show respect to everyone. Love everyone. Honor the emperor. Honor the emperor. Don't read much into that, though. Be careful. Peter is telling the church, honor the emperor, but remember, he was killed because he was preaching that there was another king, okay? Just like Paul did. And remember, Acts 17. People are complaining. These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and they are defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus, Acts 17. So when you read honor the emperor, probably Peter has in mind Jesus' words, gives to Caesar what is Caesar's, and God's what is God's. So we've been talking a lot about the message, right? Remember who you are. Set your hope in God. Be holy. Be God's precious people. This is who you are. But who is Peter talking to? You are God's special possession. You are chosen people. If we read that today, just for us, of course we would like that. We would say, yeah, I'm precious. Yeah, because self-esteem today and self-realization are important values in our Western society. But remember this. Remember this. Peter is talking to a group of people at the bottom of the social order in the Roman Empire. He's talking to slaves. He's talking to women, to wives, and some free men. These are the people he's talking to. So you're a slave in the first century. It's a difficult life. But please do not confuse slavery in the first century with our recent history in North America. Very little connection. So many people import that idea and put it in the biblical text. Be careful with doing that. Slavery in first century Roman Empire is very different. So to give you a few examples. So slavery in first century Roman Empire is not based on race, so it doesn't matter the color of your skin. You could be a slave, okay? Second of all, of course, there is no democracy or civil rights or anything like that, so any sort of attempt to rebel from the slave will end in capital punishment. And how did these slaves die? And if they received capital punishment, how do you think they died? Crucifixion. That was the punishment. So people became slaves from different situations. So some people were born into slavery. Some people became slaves just to pay a debt for a few years. And some people were prisoners of wars. In most of the cases, slavery was only a stage in someone's life. Okay, so have that in mind, please. In many of the cases, slavery was only a stage in someone's life. Slaves received payment for their work. Yeah, they received payment for their work, and eventually they were able to buy their own freedom. Slaves in wealthy households and imperial slaves could actually buy and own other slaves. Isn't that weird? Oh, I'm a slave and I can buy and own a slave. And concerning the education, and this is an interesting point in here, in some cases, knowing and being able to speak more and write more than one language and to teach other themes such as rhetoric and philosophy was the ability of some slaves in the first century. So not much to do with our recent history of slavery, okay? Having said that, slaves were considered property, okay? You do not own your own body. And regretfully, they were mistreated, as you read here in 1 Peter, they were mistreated. Women were used as prostitutes, and they were not considered moral agents. So no decision, you're not a person while you are a slave. You're just a thing, okay? You're a slave, now you just do what you are told to do. To these people, Peter is saying, this is how you live your faith. This is how you live your faith. Tough, right? Tough. And when Peter is addressing slaves, and probably I'm looking at the clock, and we're going to talk only about slaves today. We're going to talk about wives next week, so come. When talking about slaves, if you look at the text, the whole text, there is like this center in this text, the heart of Peter's exhortation. So what is the heart of Peter's exhortation in this long text that was read before us? What is the heart of this text? Oh, I would ask, who is the heart of this text? And the answer in church and Sunday school, the answer is always Jesus. Good job, Alan. Very good, I'm so proud. Okay, I would allow you to say Jesus because we were in Mexico, but that's okay, Jesus, I can take that. Jesus, and this is the heart of the text in here. Please follow me in this a little bit. But you, if you suffer, he's talking to the slaves now, but if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseers, and overseer of your souls. Submit yourselves. Jesus gave you an example. And when he does that, when Peter does that, goes back to the Old Testament, very important, and he quotes from the most precious, beautiful prophetic text there is in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. And I might be a little bit biased because I like Jesus. So I'm not apologizing for that. So he quotes from Isaiah 53, and he tells them, Jesus taught you how to do this. You can do this. I know it's hard. But look, this is how you model your behavior. And probably he remembers Jesus' words. You want to be my disciple? Take your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. In Isaiah, this beautiful psalm, the servant song of Isaiah 53, belongs to a section between Isaiah 40 and 55, in which the prophet talks about a new exodus, and spoiler alert, a new hope. A new hope. Peter knows well Isaiah 53. And although he's quoting some pieces, he's having in mind the whole chapter. Peter says that the suffering servant, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. And, interesting, servant in Greek is doulos, which is translated as well as slave. The suffering slave of God, as prophesied in Isaiah, was insulted, he suffered, and he was crushed for our transgressions. He carried our sins on the cross for one purpose, to send us to heaven? Yeah. But he bore, 2:24, 1 Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that departing from sins, or how NIV translates, so dying from sin, so you die from sins, and so you might be able to live for righteousness. So the Greek word that is was translated by the NIV as die, that's to die, when Peter says, hey, you guys, die to your sins. Die to the sin. Die. The same Greek word is translated many times as just leave that behind. Depart from that. Leave that behind. So the purpose of Christ's death and sacrifice and suffering is to provide forgiveness, yes, and to empower his people to live a new life, to live for righteousness. That is possible. Yes, live in hope. You can actually live it. That is what Peter is saying. You can actually live this living hope. And righteousness, please, don't read Paul in Peter. Okay? Righteousness here is not in the forensic sense. What do I mean by that? That's a very technical term that some scholars use. Righteousness, forensics. So that's the language of being declared righteous in a court of law. So you go, and you're like, hey, chico, come over here. And I'm like, you are righteous, not guilty. And I'm like, oof, awesome, being declared righteous, I can go and do whatever I want. Yeah, toot. That's not what Peter is saying, okay? No. Righteousness here is a lifestyle. You can live for righteousness. You can live for righteousness. So Jesus sacrificed and suffered to enable us, you, to live for righteousness. Righteousness. To have this life that is characterized, that is marked by righteousness. Peter calls believers to live lives that honor Jesus' sacrifice. And you see this exhortation through the letter. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same aptitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Oof. Almost reading like suffering. Yeah, God can do something good with that. That tastes like kale to me. But we need it. And the language is in the whole letter. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Take heart. Jesus carried all of that on his body, and he crushed it on the cross. So no fear, no sin, no death can destroy you. So in your suffering, imitate the suffering of the servant of God. Glorify God in your suffering. Boy, that's tough. That's tough. So you might ask, okay, glorify God in my suffering. How do I do that? How can that even be possible? Right? You might ask that. How is that possible? Thank you. That's a good question. Thank you for asking. Because by his wounds, you have been healed. By his wounds, you were healed. And Peter is taking from Isaiah 53 in here. And you know, he does a little tweak that is very nice. Because Isaiah 53 says, by his wounds we were healed. So Peter picks that and he says, yes, we were healed. But now he's talking to this church that he's trying to encourage. So he changes the we and he puts a you in there. You know what he's doing? He's appealing to his audience. By his wounds, you been healed. This is possible. God healed you. In the Old Testament, this Hebrew word means restoring a wrong, sick, broken, or deficient condition to its original and proper state. Restoring a wrong, sick, broken, or deficient condition to its original and proper state. This represents a holistic restoration of you. Like the song says, you heard that song? We were meant to live for so much more. Cameron, you heard that song? Sweetford, yes, thank you very much. We were meant to live for so much more because by his wounds we've been healed. Hope is the best medicine you will ever have for your soul. Hope, the wounds that Jesus endured physically, or suffering servant, resulted in the physical, covenantal, and spiritual restoration and healing of God's people. This is you. This is who you are. You've been healed. All of you, all of us. And we say, we've been healed. We are broken. We're sick. We struggle. Yeah. But you've been healed. There is a little thing in the New Testament. Here, you read it. It's very important. It's called the resurrection. The living hope. Sorry, I saw some people doing that, but kind of like this. Don't you? Yes. You are called to be a sign of that healing today in the midst of your difficult world, in the midst of your difficult life, of your difficult situation, when you face injustice and beatings and all of that, you can take a decision. Remember, he's talking to slaves. So we had it a lot easier than them. And you know what he's telling them? You can take this decision. This is on you. You are actually moral agents. You can decide in your heart, in your mind, how are you going to face this injustice and suffering? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. And he's using this complicated thing called the household codes, right? I wanted to sound like a scholar in there, so that's why I'm trying. So these household codes were very common in the ancient world, and you have many coming from the Stoic philosophy. And what they do, basically, long story short, they address the Stoic philosophers. They addressed first the people with most dignity. So they would talk to the authorities. Oh, you do this because you are so good and so awesome. And then they talk to the head of the family, and then they would talk to the wife, and then they would talk to the children, and then if there is some room, they would talk to the slaves. Bing! Okay? You do what you're told. Pew! New Testament picks these household codes and turn it upside down. That's what Peter does. Addressing the people with most honor first. And Peter goes, yes, I'm talking to you, slaves. What? That's what he has to tell them. Submit yourself. Because they probably heard a message that told them that they are loved, that they are God's people, that they have worth, that they are not property of their masters, their property of God. You are my people, my precious people. So, boy, that sounds very revolutionary. So he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Careful there. I don't want you to get killed. Just follow Jesus. He showed us the way to live. He did. He did. So, how do you live that actually today? Yeah, nice story, Daniel, about these slaves and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, Peter honors these slaves and calls them to identify themselves with Christ, whose sacrifice has made righteousness living, righteous living possible. Yes, a living hope is for today and the future. It's like God is bringing this future that you're waiting for and bring it today for you. Live it. This is not an idea. It's not a utopia. It's a lifestyle. Hope is a lifestyle. Yes, we were meant to live for so much more. How do you do that? How do you do that? So there was this young man in Chile. At 18 years old, you have to do your military service. No choice. You have to serve your country. Okay? You are called at 18 years old, and if you're lucky, you spend only a couple of weeks and you go away. That was me. But sometimes there is lack of people being born in that year that they're calling. So You might be 20, 22, 24, and then the country says, hey, come over here. So we had this person, this amazing guy in our church, in our neighborhood, called Raymond. Actually, his name is Ramon, but I don't want you to be Ramon. Can you try that? Ramon. Good job. So Raymond, amazing Christian. He's called, 24 years old. He's called. And doing military service during Pinochet's time, you know, Pinochet was a dictator from the military. So it was a really tough environment to be just a decent human being, not even a Christian. So he tells, when he comes back, he goes in front of the church, he tells us this amazing story. So they really try to, when you get there, and it was only 2 weeks, but the language is so violent, they really want to put in your heart and your mind violence, 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 so, so, so aggressively. So one of the things they do, they called one person from the crowd, and they had to fight each other. Just fight. Show me what you got. So Raymond is called to the front, and he's like, okay, then another one is called, and they put in there, show me what you got, fight. Raymond goes and does this. I'm not gonna fight you. And then the other guy is like, I can't hit him. And then the commander is like, rah, 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 you hit me. Rah, rah, rah. So this other kid starts crying. And Raymond is like, you can hit me. This is crazy. He's telling me, dude, just hit me, don't worry. He's like, no. So he sits down next to him, behind him. Another comes in. Hit him. And he's like, just go for it, don't worry. So, no, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, sitting on the floor. Some of the kids crying. Because these are 10-year-old kids. Imagine going through that. So Raymond is with his hands in the back. So the commander comes to him, and he's like, he raises his hand, and about to hit him, he says, you cannot live in the real world like this boy. You cannot live like this in the real world. And he leaves. So Raymond, then he turns to his friends, and he says, yes, I can. Yes, you can. The same officer, 6 months later, comes to Raymond, and he tells me, can you pray for me? You cannot live like this in the real world, boy. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because by his wounds, you have been healed. Amen.
The song we're going to sing is a little challenging to sing as a congregation. It's more of an anthem song, but it was written almost 20 years ago by a member of SAS, Quentin Prinsloo. And when Daniel was preaching last week about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good and butter and honey, made me think of this song, and then this week serving our Lord. So I just had to do this song. So please stand with us as we sing together.
Choose your Lord. has paid the debt we owe. Even he gives freedom to choose. Butter and honey, they fed his soul. After evil, he refused. Choose the good instead. I choose the Lord. I choose.
Go now in peace with the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this week, in every step you take, in every decision you make, I pray that you choose the Lord. And you can do this. Remember, by his wounds, you have been healed. Amen.